Hi, and welcome to Air Graphics Podcast. My name is Ralph Kelly, the owner of Air Graphics, airbrushing and character.
This week we have Al of Debt of York, Pennsylvania, of Air Style Airbrush. Hey, how's the weather over there?
It's kind of chilly, actually, but okay.
Oh, shit, that's it.
Yeah, I was in Florida, so I just got back.
Well, you be on the road a lot. You be doing what? Competitions or something?
Well, a friend of mine, he's a competitor, but he's also an artist, and I've been helping him with a project that he's doing. Yeah, that's how I want to go. Yep, I still, do my thing too,
Yeah. Let's just start. I'll crop all the rest of this out. All right, so let's get started. Hey, where are you originally from?
Originally from Maryland, and lived in New York for a while. And, I travel quite a bit now, so pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
I try to be everywhere.
Yeah. I see you had a lot of pictures with Rakim and all them. But yeah, any websites or social media you want to promote?
Let's see, my social media platform, mostly Instagram, and the Instagram is actually under my name, which is Al Aylett, spelled AlAyLett, and the number 2 on the end.
So you mainly on Instagram?
Mainly on Instagram. That's how I seem to successfully promote everything. Contact info that everybody can reach from all over.
Yeah.
Social media seems more of a, I guess, a more effective platform than just the regular website. Even the websites still have it. They still have the place.
Yeah. I don't know. It's for me, it's hard to find, the right place because, you have to be everywhere. Facebook, TikTok, Instagram.
Yeah. Now, TikTok is still fairly new, but everybody that's on social media, they may be Instagram and Facebook. Everybody that's on there is not necessarily on TikTok, but some people are, some people choose not to be, and some just are still learning what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting that right niche to be able to get the followers.
Exactly, and TikTok seems to be also based on video, video reels and footage, more so than photos.
Yeah, so it makes you constantly have to keep up with content.
Pretty much, to stay relevant on the site, I guess the algorithm has a lot to do with what posts. How many viewers actually view your
Yeah. So how did you learn about airbrushing, and how long have you been airbrushing?
I started airbrushing in the early 90s, so I guess you could say I want to say 90, maybe 92, somewhere around there, 91, 92. And I found out about airbrushing originally because I went to an amusement park years ago, and I was already drawing in marker on sketch pads.
Yeah.
Lettering and graffiti at the time. I was sketching landscapes in pencil, but part of the magic marker and coloring, it was graffiti. So, saying all that to say, when I went to the amusement park, which was, I believe it was Hershey Park, I saw two girls spraying liked the way that they were applying the color with by way of spray, and I was motivated from there. I just didn't know what the name of the medium was, the way that somebody kind of described it. I mean, the rest was history, because from that point on, you know, as a kid, I think I was about maybe 16, somewhere around there. I 13 when I first discovered it. I was trying to figure out, okay, what is the name of this tool and where do I get it?
Yeah.
And is it something I can do when I grow up? Because I seen, you know, I felt like I saw what I wanted to do more so than any other job. But when I saw that, I just fell in love with it. I said, that's what I want to do right there.
Yeah. Because he was already pretty much into art already, right?
Pretty much, yeah, because I was into drawing, and drawing with just pencil, so I didn't really get too far into the charcoal pencil and oil pastels. But I just wanted to get into like I said, the graffiti is what really caught my attention.
Yeah, where were you at the time? Were you like in New York, or you were still in Maryland?
I was actually in Pennsylvania at that particular time. I was in Maryland when I actually got my hands on the equipment.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine had gave me an airbrush that they were using. And I guess you could say I borrowed it. Never gave it back. It was a Badger airbrush.
Oh yeah, so you started with a Badger.
Right. I didn't know what I was doing, how to control it. Went to the library back then, got a couple books, and I was just blown away by the illustration style that people did with the airbrush.
Oh, with all the fisk and all of that stuff?
Well, right, exactly.
Man.
I didn't know how to, at the time I didn't know how to incorporate all that.
Yeah. So what was your, basically you thought your style was, you still trying to do graffiti with it?
Pretty much graffiti, and I wanted to do, I wanted to do those cartoon characters.
Yeah.
But I wanted to make the cartoon characters look three-dimensional, shading. As opposed to doing just a typical flat book.
Yeah. So that was pretty much
fascinated by it.
So you pretty much self-taught.
I am self-taught for the most part, but I did learn under various other artists as well.
So you kind of worked at a shop or something afterwards, after you started doing it a while?
There was a shop available that was in Baltimore. These guys that were there, they were older than I was. But they would let me come in there and watch them.
Yeah.
Watch them do what they do. And I started picking up. I started picking up the skill a little bit. Not as much as I wanted to, but I picked up enough to play around.
Yeah, because
so from there, I would, I would get, clothing. Different pieces of clothing of my own.
Yeah.
I would just spray up my own clothing sometimes.
I think we all did all that. Well, I ran out of a lot of white stuff. Everything white I ran out of.
Exactly. Now, prior to all of that, prior to that, I was taking paint markers and magic markers writing on jeans. Denim jeans.
Oh, we have we used to use that tulip. We had the tulip.
I used to use tulip as well.
Yeah.
Now the tulip, that stuff was permanent. It stayed in, it didn't fade. I used to love it.
Yeah. It's a process, though. The painting it.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I agree.
But it was popular for a while down here in Texas, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used the tulip. So did you eventually, after you started getting better, you went work somewhere, or you was just doing solo out of your, solo on your own?
Well, as I got better, I was doing it out of my basement and doing it in people's backyards because people were like, I guess you could say, they were entertained by it.
Yeah.
They were very entertained and amazed, And of course, if they know you, they're extra entertained because they figure, oh, this is somebody I know doing this.
Yeah.
Creating this magic, So yeah.
Yeah, it's the same way today. It's all about the show. People enjoy sitting there watching you do it and amazed to see that you bring a white t-shirt and it come out to, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, because that's one thing I noticed about your work. Your work is like, it's like vivid. Your colors you pick that makes your work like stand out vivid. Every time I look at your stuff, I was like, man, how you make it so vivid like that? I guess it's the color, your color choices that you use.
Yeah, color choices, and sometimes I actually slow my process down. I'll let a color cure and dry before I add another color supply. Just so I can make sure it stays bright.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop the interference of overspray and the air getting on everything.
Yeah.
That's what makes it hard as well.
Because you definitely have a style that's recognizable. If I see it, I know it's yours.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
told that pretty often.
And that's a good thing because you want to like be known. It's like, yeah, I know who did that. When you see it, like, yeah, I know exactly who did that.
Yeah, you want to have a signature, which is good identification because. I mean, when I used to get words from certain other artists like Terry Hill coming up, Terry Hill was in Airbrush Action.
Yeah.
And Kent Lynn, when they would look at my stuff and give me, every time they gave me compliments, that was elevating.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good thing.
Oh, yeah, all day.
Yeah. How long did you do that? Work for yourself as far as, you ever had a shop in all of the years or whatnot?
Well, not really a shop, but I mean, there's what we do have what they call a flea market, which they call swap meet in other states.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been airbrushing in there for well over 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Despite the fact that I'm in and out of there because of traveling.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, I also do a lot of work for entertainment agencies, so. Sweet 16 parties, bar mitzvahs,
yeah.
Birthday parties. So I do get hired to do, college parties, and just anything where they will find airbrush and entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah. So to date, to this date, you've been airbrushing maybe like 20, 25 years? You think?
This day, I would have to give it about 30 at least.
Man. Yeah,
somewhere around there. Then mind you, in the beginning, I wasn't airbrushing full time. I had, we all had full time jobs on the side.
Yeah.
Well, full time jobs. We airbrushed on the side, but we, later opportunity came for most of us. We just went on to put it to the forefront.
Yeah. Eventually, you're like, man, I just go ahead and go full time with this. Because the money is still good in it.
Oh, for sure. The money is great in it. I mean, especially if you do automotive.
Yeah.
You just have to be prepared for what to do when times get slow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, most of the time, there's always something to do.
Yeah, you can always find. If you're a hustler, you always can find something. That's like when I started this, it was during COVID, and it was like to try to like, to give other people ideas of what other people are doing to try to, keep it going. And a lot of people still made a lot of money during COVID.
I did too. I did as well.
Yeah, everybody was painting the mask and
mask and all types of stuff.
Yeah, and people still had all that. People had that money. It was burning up in their pocket. They just had to spend it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, do you have a name to your company, or did you have you had a the start out? You had a name, or you changed it, or?
I call it currently same name which I had is Airstyle Airbrush. But people that know me personally, they insist on saying Al's Airbrush.
Yeah.
So, it's all good.
It's the same thing, huh? It's me. So what do you feel is your specialty? What do you do that you feel is your specialty?
Honestly, I feel my specialty is freestyle lettering. But a lot of other times, I feel like sometimes my specialty is realistic portraits.
Yeah, I saw that. I can't do portraits at all. I try, but I can't. It's just, I do cartoons, so it's like, it cross over, and I can't break that. Like, for some reason, I can't break that to make it look practice. Real.
Yeah. It definitely takes practice. I mean, I've learned because, you know, how to make them look realistic. Because I would always try to, I would always study what the artist would do.
Yeah.
What artists would do with canvas. You know, and I've always wanted to incorporate what I do in airbrush and say that instead of me just a person that knows how to spray, I'm an actual artist that's just great with using the airbrush more so than other people.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people try to discount our craft, but we're just as much as an artist as anybody else.
Yeah. Right. And a lot of people discount it because I guess it's done. Done so fast, and you know the way it's applied, and some of the steps that we don't have to take that other artists have to take.
Yeah, and ours is so accessible. Like you can find it at carnivals and flea markets or malls and shit like that. So yeah,
right.
But it's like
which is true. But I mean, you still have to. You still have to consider the fact that it's a lot of airbrush artists out here, but everybody has a different style.
Yeah.
Some that are just, you know, you have some airbrush artists that are just t-shirt people. They just, you know, they may know how to write letters and make them look nice with bright color, which is always visually attractive. Then you have the ones that know how to do actual images and fine work, like drawing and color.
Yeah.
And, you know, and illustration.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't just box them all. You can box the craft itself. I wouldn't necessarily box the artist. Well, I wouldn't box the craft itself in the one umbrella. Under one umbrella.
Yeah, because like you just said, you could do portraits. See, like, for instance, like, you're a versatile artist. That's, you could do realism and cartoons. You know what I'm saying? So, You know, you can't box you in just one category. So, no, I can't do portraits, so you can't box me. That's like right now they having that art show in Florida. I think it's coming up this weekend or next weekend. And they're doing like a lot of realism. Huh?
What's the name of it?
It's Sandra Goggins are doing it. They're doing it in Atlanta.
I actually met Sandra. I met her at her spot.
Yeah. So she's having her and a couple of other artists, her and Herb Edwards, they all having an art show over there. And man, some of their work is like, they got a lot of realism in there. Yeah, so that's a cool thing right there.
I can make it.
I want to, man. I couldn't find no cheap tickets. I tried to find me some good tickets, but man, it's like, for me to go, it's like $700. Yeah, and that's just to go for one day and come back. That ain't counting.
Maybe they can put it on Zoom or something.
Yeah. I think I'm going to try to buy a couple of, I think Herb is going to make some prints. And I'm going to try to buy a couple of his prints. Because they look good, man. I saw some of the stuff they putting out.
They're a pretty good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot. I think it's becoming a thing because you know Malcolm McRae. He's doing his a lot of like museum art shows and stuff like that. So I guess that's the next thing right now.
hey, I think it's great to do that.
Yeah.
Because that'll lay the groundwork for people like ourselves to make other, you know, moves with the airbrush and make the airbrush to where it prevails and not be such a lost art.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like, you know, it's a good thing. I mean, I wouldn't mind trying it, but I can't, like I was telling Herb, I can't come up with nothing that I want to put on a canvas to put out. You know?
Well, you could just play around sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know who looks at it and loves it.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. So, were you painting in Maryland, and then you started painting in New York, or you did mostly your painting?
Painting in Maryland, and you know, whenever I was traveling to New York, that's how I got a lot of my inspiration and ideas, and you know, working with other artists as well.
Yeah. So, are you around a lot of airbrush artists where you're at now? Like the competition?
Very few. Yeah. Very few. But a couple of the artists now that I do run into, they're actually good friends of mine.
Yeah.
And, one of the artists, he actually stopped airbrushing for years. And while he was while he stopped, he would send me all of his customers.
Oh, that's cool.
You know. So now he's back to airbrushing again. And, you know, I guess he has, like, his clientele, he has a different clientele from mine.
Yeah. He doesn't
do a lot of portrait work.
Yeah, that's how it is in Houston. There's a... I don't know how, man, it's a lot of us, but we're like in different areas. So it was like, I've been on like the Southwest, Southeast for like 15, 20 years. So I'm kind of known in that area. It's another artist like Darwin for Airbrush Brothers. They're in like Katy. So they pretty much that area. It's another artist on the North side. So it's a lot of us in the, like some, a lot of them in the flea markets, but it's like the main shops are like, you know, we kind of share work, though, you know?
Right.
Like, if I can't do it, I'll send it to somebody else, and vice versa. If he can't do it, he'll send it to me.
Right, and that's how I operate myself.
Yeah.
Same way. I do everything the same way.
Yeah, because the old ways of not wanting to share, not wanting to teach, don't want to tell nobody your secrets or whatnot.
Yeah.
That's how we came through. Yeah. So do you paint alone, or do you have any helpers or whatnot?
Currently, I paint alone. I mean, I had a person that was painting with me one time. You know, they pretty much moved on to doing other, you know, other things outside of art. You know, I pretty much stuck with the art airbrush. So I just kept it going because I have such a passion for craft and love.
Yeah.
I want to keep the art, you know, I like to keep it alive because it's so distinct, and it's something that everybody can't do.
Yeah, everybody. You ever had people come into your shop and say, oh, that looks easy, I can do it?
Oh, plenty of times.
Yeah.
Plenty of times. So when they go and try to buy their little mini kit or whatever, they try and they realize, oh, this is more than just spraying.
Yeah, it's actually a craft. It's something you have to learn.
Yeah, especially when it comes to, I guess, anything that requires you to use the dagger stroke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially
grip writing.
I used to have a lot of tattoo artists coming in like, this is easy, I can do it. And I would just hand them the airbrush, here you go, try it. Oh, I need a little practice.
Yeah, now current tattoo artists actually started out with the airbrush.
Yeah, yeah.
Some, not all.
One of the guys who do most of my tattoos he used to work for me. And now he owns a tattoo shop.
Yeah, and see, you know, tattoo art is another art that I admired coming up to. I used to try to attempt to get a tattoo effect in a lot of my airbrush work. Not saying the ink look.
Yeah.
But the fine line, that fine sideline, vicious look with the flare.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like the skulls, the Grim Reapers, and
yeah, the flourishes and what?
Spikes, yeah.
Yeah. I think Jaime Rodriguez kind of like mastered that style.
Oh, yes, he did indeed. I love this style. I used to watch him.
Yeah.
He's another artist that actually reached out to me before.
Yeah?
Yeah. Jaime and, Drew Blair.
Yeah.
Yeah, Drew
Blair saw a couple of pieces I did. Yeah, I met Drew at you know, when they used to have the art, those classes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The Abrash Action classes.
Yeah, I never got to go to the classes, but I have been to one of the conventions before. Back when they had one in New Jersey. So
yeah.
I attended that, and I met quite a few people that were in the industry.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. I never been to the classes, but I did. I like, you know, I'd go and they let me walk around inside and you know, look around.
Yeah. Now, one of my close friends who's also an airbrush artist, who I'm sure you know, he used to go to a lot of classes. That's Sam Clee Newton.
Oh, yeah. He's over there with the other Air Graphics. Over there in New Jersey, yeah. Ain't it?
Right, in Jersey. Now, quick little story. Sam and I would get together every year for the Christmas holiday throughout New Year's, and we would always start the New Year off painting something as a collab.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, and this was when he was living in Brooklyn, New York. So we were all, you know, we always started out the year painting something, an image. And, you know, if I can get him to find the old images we did, I would love to have him post them. We did a Biggie portrait together before. We did a couple comic book scenes on shirts. We, like I said, every year for years, we linked up and did something. You know, did something.
That was cool. I reached out to him because I've been to New York 3 times, and I reached out to him, but we just never caught up because he's in Jersey, and I think I was staying in. Shit, I was staying in Times Square. And I was
going. Okay, yeah, he's in Jersey now. But Sam and I have been knowing each other for, gosh, I think almost 2 decades now.
Man.
Yeah, but I didn't. Now, when I was living in New York originally, at the time, I didn't know him at that time. I met Sam around, I think I want to say 95 or something. 95, 96.
Cool. So were y'all into like the big, did you get a chance to get into the big hip hop painting for the rappers or whatnot?
Like the murals?
The outfits, you know how they wear the outfits?
Oh, definitely. I've always done the outfits myself. You know, the denim outfits, and sometimes I would do sweatsuits. You know, anything that paint can go on, I would do.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you figure you could take something that was like, you know, a lesser-known name brand or a no-name brand that wasn't popular. By the time you bless it with the airbrush art on it, nobody cared what kind of it was.
Yeah, yeah.
They were so fascinated by the work that was on it, the bright colors and, you know, the distinct look that it has. Hey, the people were blown away. They were amazed.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. It's still that way today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And just to add to that, one of the things that I do now, just to keep myself interested, is I paint a lot of my own stuff. I don't paint all over it like graffiti, but I, you know, I spray my little image on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little muscle man image. I spray him on there. It just keeps me, you know, it just keeps me entertained because I always believe that if I could spray my own stuff and do it the way I want it and wear it, that's like a modern day way of me wearing the graffiti, you know, graffiti outfit, but without the graffiti all over.
Yeah, yeah. Not so.
I just keep it pretty tasteful, you know, tasteful at times.
So that's basically like your logo that you use all the time? Is it a particular logo?
You could say it's a logo. I mean, it's still a rough draft, but looks like a muffin man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to post it one day on
something. Yeah, got it. So yeah.
Actually, maybe post a couple of my pages, you know, of myself.
Yeah. Words. So you do a lot of, you work out, obviously you work out a lot.
Always. That's my second love.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to be a little stock, but I can't do it no more. I got old now. Yeah. But that's something.
You know, age is just a number.
Yeah. Yeah. So you keep up with it regularly, like you have a routine, or do you compete, or no, you don't compete?
I've competed in the past. I've done 5 competitions. I haven't done any competitions since about 2012. Quite a long time, but because it's a very expensive sport.
Yeah.
But I still love the sport, and you know, any type of special functions that, you know, bodybuilder shows are like, and, you know, just to stay in the loop.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, almost the camaraderie.
Yeah, that's basically. So do you, you did. One of the questions was, do you collab with any artists? And you told me about Sam. Do you see him often, or you just, you know, haven't seen him in a while?
I do see him often. Now, so far this year, since we're still in the beginning of the year, I haven't seen him.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's been busy at his shop. But I've been invited plenty of times.
Yeah. They come over to the, I used to see him not too long ago. I think we had a, me and Sam, was you on WCA at all?
No, not at all.
No, I don't know if I remember Sam from there or I met him somewhere else online. But I think I logged in one day and it's the other air graphics. I think they're PHICS and I'm FIX. And I don't know who it was who messaged, but they was like, yeah, look, there's another guy copying us. I'm like, oh, man. Yeah, but I was like, I wanted to go by that shop, too, but time didn't happen. I didn't get a chance to get over there.
Yeah, because there was a time when Sam and the other guys were working at another mall in Queens a long time ago.
Yeah. So they are in, I think they just moved into a mall location, I think. Another mall location. Yeah, yeah. So is it anybody who you would like to collab with? Like, you know, do something with?
I would love to collab with all of y'all that's on Facebook.
You know,
I would love to do that some kind of way.
It used to be a shirt that we used to have. Back in the day, we would take a shirt. I was from Texas, I would paint on it. And then we would ship it to the next person.
I remember that. I remember.
Do you know I have that shirt? I sent it to someone, and someone sent it back to me. And then I guess that's when everything fell off from there. And I was looking at storage, and I found it. I was like, damn, I still have this shirt. It got Jaime Rodriguez on there, I don't know if Tom Davis is on there, but Pat Gaines is on there. It's a guy.
Oh, wow. Pat Gaines. Yeah. So Pat Gaines is an OG.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of people on that shirt. And we keep saying we're going to start it over. Right. But I think it never fruitions. I even actually went and bought like a 5X shirt and said, I'm going to start it again. I'm going to just paint it and I'm going to send it to the first person that said they want it. So maybe that's a way you could collab with somebody. So maybe maybe tomorrow I'll get a chance. I'll go try to find that 5X shirt. I'll go buy another 5X and I'll get it shipped out to somebody.
Yeah, for sure.
And that way it'll be a good. And I don't know what they planned on doing with it after the fact. Cause they wanted to auction it off or give it to somebody or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And posting just to show it and mention every artist that's on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can never go wrong about doing that.
No. So, how did you meet Rakim?
Oh, gosh, how did I not be Rakim. I met Rakim many. Gosh, I lost count of how many times I met him. But the first time, I was trying to meet him for years before the first time I met him. And I think my first time meeting him was in 2009, I believe, at a show. So what I did is I did a T-shirt with his portrait on it, and I gave it to him during the show. And he loved it. He just loved it. So following that, and I think it was 2013, he did another show. He came back again. That's when I did a portrait, which is the one you see on my profile. I did that one, and he signed that one. So every time he does a show, and every time he does a show somewhere and I'm there, I get to always, you know, talk to him.
Yeah, that's cool. That was my dude when I was in basic training, and that's when the first album came out. Man, we used to rock the hell out of that damn song.
Paid in full.
Yep. Paid in full. That was the shit. Yeah. So do you?
Every time I see it, it's always love.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool as hell.
Yeah.
Then Do you get the chance to see a lot of artists while you're there?
I've met quite a few hip hop people in the times, because there was a time when I used to hang out with Carl Kanaf, if you remember that.
I remember that the clothing line.
Yeah, I used to hang out with him and his account exec that was from Mount Vernon, New York. And, you know, every time I would go places with them, gosh, I mean, I would meet so many different people, I couldn't even keep up with it. And this is before the days of having a smartphone, so back then you would just get an autograph.
Yeah. You'd
take a 35mm camera and take the photo. So,
yeah.
I've met quite a few.
Yeah, because that's one thing I thought I would see, like, When I came up, because first time we went to New York, me and my wife went. We was like just riding on the, I think we rode the subway a couple of times, and then we, like, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna see somebody that, you know, a rapper or some shit. Never happened.
But you never know. I mean, you could have saw him and didn't know it was them.
True story.
They could have walked right past you.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. True story. And the last time I went, I went down there. And I went to. I'm a big Malcolm X fan, person. So it's like I went to his grave, then I went to the Audubon Ballroom, and then and hung out there for a while. And they got something going on tomorrow, man. I wanted to come, but I couldn't make it.
Where's it taking place? You said
it's going to be at the Audubon. They're having a I think tomorrow is his anniversary of his death, and okay. they're gonna have a lot of people at the Audubon Ballroom tomorrow. I think Angela Davis is going to be there. That's why I wanted to go.
Oh, dude, that'll be awesome to see her.
Yeah, yeah. And I got a chance to go in there, man. They got like a little shrine or museum set up for him up in there. And you get to walk around to the actual... I think they preserved the actual room that he was murdered in. And and you can go in there. Man, it's surreal. But yeah.
Chilling.
Yeah, so what are you what you got planned for the rest of the year? You got anything new coming up, or are you?
Well, so far for the rest of the year, I'm actually booked for a couple bar mitzvahs, and I believe a graduation party that's coming up in May, and I think they're Sweet 16 parties.
So do you book your own stuff, or you have an agency?
Well, there's an entertainment agency that actually books me. So when I'm working with them, I just use their name.
Yeah. You know, I used to do that.
Yeah, I actually like doing that because it puts me in another element, and I can just spray. I can spray in ways that I can just go free with.
Yeah, you don't
have to worry. I don't have to worry about the judgment of keeping it, you know, superior. I mean, I try to keep my work crisp anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't have to do it to the point where it's critical.
It frees you up from having to worry about all of the logistics of it. They got all that settled. You just got to show up, do what you do, get paid, and go home.
Absolutely. And most of all, the audience I'm doing it for, they fully appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they appreciate it to no end. Like, it's a real treat for them.
It's crazy. I haven't been to Bar Mitzvah in a while, but yeah. I'd be like, what? I like listening to that? And they be out there dancing. Right. I'm like, what? But yeah,
it's quite a scenery. It's quite a scenery to experience.
Yeah, and they spend money. They're fun though. I just recently started back going back out to events, and I kind of like it, kind of sort of. But right now I'm doing all the logistics and advertising and I miss being with an agency that did everything for you.
Yeah. I mean, they keep me pretty busy.
Yeah, seems like if you already got all these jobs lined up already for the year.
Dude, they even have me, tentatively booked for one in September.
Damn.
Already, you know. I mean, of course, the client has to, contract.
Yeah, but that's still, you know, you got work coming.
Absolutely.
So potentially you have work coming.
That's a beautiful thing.
Man, yeah. And it's for doing something that you love to do.
I love it. Absolutely.
That what makes it so easy, because, you know, it's something that you want, something you love to do. So it's like, it's really not a burden of doing it. Sometimes it can be a burden, but yeah. You know what
I mean. It can be a burden sometimes.
It can be,
but you know, at times you can work your magic and smooth some things out sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm becoming not so much of a people person so much anymore. Mm-hmm. Working in the public. So do you have
I have my days where I'm not a people person.
Yeah. Are you open during the week or just the weekends?
Publicly, I'm open on the weekends only. But during the week, I try to concentrate more on. Like automotive stuff, like the motorcycle helmets.
Yeah.
You know, the more time consuming work.
Do you have to? Work. Do you send it out to for the clear?
I take it to a body shop, one of the local body shops I deal with, and I have to do it.
Yeah.
Now, after they clear it, sometime I have to do sanding just to smooth it out so they can polish it.
Yeah.
Depending on what the project.
I stopped doing the motorcycle helmets because the guy I used made the clear run, and then I would have to, it would fall on me. I'm like, man, I'm done with that, because I would get chewed out.
Right, but you can sand it.
Yeah, you can sand it and buff it out.
It takes time to do extra time.
Do you get a lot of that over there? A lot of automotive work?
Lately, I haven't been getting a whole lot of it lately. But at one time, I'd be very, very busy. That's not to say that coming up in April, because they pop up.
Yeah. Is it Does the weather affect y'all down there a lot?
It can, but not in a major way. Because I like to do most of that stuff indoors.
I know it's indoors, but since you gotta get there.
I'm real critical when it comes to doing automotive and hard surfaces, especially when I, you know, look at the work of likes like Javier Soto, people like Jonathan Anthony Holmes.
Yeah, yeah. So you're a big fan of a lot. That's the thing. You're a big fan of a lot of artists.
I'm a major fan of a lot of artists because, you know, I've actually been around them, and like I said, they've actually looked at my work before, and they didn't just look at it and compliment and turn away. They looked at it as if they were picking up stuff off of it. Well, that lets me know I'm doing something.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool as hell. Cause like I said, but I can point your workout if I see it. You know what I'm saying?
It's funny you said that because what's his name? Chris, I believe his name is Chris. No, I want to say Chris. He says the same thing. Other Airbrush guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
how it is though. I bet you could do the same. You can just if you see somebody artwork online without their name on it, you're like, I know who did that. Or I think I know who did it because it's pretty much their style.
I can pretty much tell when Ken Lin does something.
Yeah. Yeah. You can pick his out.
He has a real crisp structured way that he applies to all of his work. That makes each piece look different, but you can tell that he has a distinct way of keeping it in this format.
Have you ever thought about like going work at any of those guys' shops?
I have, but because I'm involved in so many other interests in my life, you know, I wouldn't want to commit to doing anything with somebody else. You know?
Yeah, because I think. Pat's always hiring in Florida.
Yeah, yeah. Now Kent, however, I met Kent at one of the conventions years ago. And Kent twisted my arm to put my work in his, you know, he had a segment inside of Airbrush Action Magazine.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you remember that. It was called Shirt du Jour. You send your work in. Takes a look at it and he pulls it apart. You know, he'll tell you what you need to work on. He'll tell you if your work is fine or.
Oh yeah, no, I don't remember that.
He used to do that back in the Airbrush Action days. So he convinced me to send a couple of my pieces in because when he saw my work and he happened to ask me. He said, "Hey, why haven't I seen any of your work come across my magazine section?" You know, in the back then, of course, I was a little reluctant, you know, because dealing with him at the time was like dealing with the guy from American Idol. From American Idol. So he said, I sent the pictures into him. He posted them. I said, oh, goodness. So what's he going to say?
Uh-oh.
He gave me a good report. He said he was loving how my use of color enhances my drawing skill and the way I bounce lines. And he said, and he also loved the fact that I didn't use a lot of black.
Yeah.
Work. He was loving that. You know, and I remember telling him that, you know, from the artist I came up with, black wasn't a color that you used in certain. Black wasn't a color that you used in certain. Because it's too dark of color, too dark.
Yeah.
So I taught myself to use, I guess you could say, I taught myself to use other colors instead of black that could take the place of black where black would belong.
See, that's the science of it. That's the science of it right there. You'd be breaking down the science of it.
Yeah. I mean, I was just determined, because I was determined that I didn't want my work to have that look that I see some of these people, you know, put on Instagram. You know, it's like, you know, the thick black lines and the heavy color. It just looks too, I don't know, I guess you could say oversaturated.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So I wanted to avoid that look. You know, of course, camera does. The camera can make your work look a certain way, too, but I was just determined.
Yeah, I see. A lot of artists use the filters. and they work the saturation, yeah. And then they work it out to make it, yeah, to make. But like I said, it's just something about yours. Like, I guess when you use that yellow, like if you use like a yellow, I don't know if you use a fluorescent yellow, a golden yellow, or is it just an opaque yellow, but it's vivid. You know what I'm saying?
Probably depending on the piece that I'm doing. Yeah. Sometimes I just recently started back to using opaque yellow. And I started back to using that because I can spray it and it stays light. Where transparent yellow, you know, transparent, the more you spray it, the darker it gets.
Yeah, you got to build on it.
Yeah, you got to build on it. See, there's sometimes when I don't want my yellow looking. Sometimes I want my yellow to stay pale.
Yeah.
Instead of looking...
What paint do you use?
Well, I've always used Aquaflow, and I've used Aquaflow before Createx even existed. Now, currently, I use Aquaflow, and I also use E-Tac.
Yeah.
Now I do like Wicked.
Yeah.
And I also use Jacquard, but, you know, right now, everything is all about what I can get my hands on.
Yeah. Do y'all have a hard time getting paint over there?
Not now, I don't. Now, I don't have a hard time getting it locally.
So you order it?
Yeah, I order it.
No.
E-Tac and Aquaflow was all, you always had to order that.
Yeah.
You was never able to get that out of the store. Createx and Wicked is available, and it's available in places like Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
Jacquard airbrush paint. You familiar with that?
Yes, I use that on t-shirts, and I used to. I do a lot of baseball helmets, and
I love this stuff. Honestly.
It's actually really good, but you can't use it on baseball helmets. It works. It goes on there, but you can't clear it. When you put the clear on it, the clear muddies up on top of the paint.
Yeah, it does.
It took me a while to find out why that was, because I had like all my Jacquard and my Createx mixed. Like, you know, I would use Jacquard pink and I would use Createx white or Wicked white. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then when I cleared a baseball helmet, the paint would bubble up. And then I finally decided, I think it has to be the paint. And I started testing it out, and it was Jacquard. Great on shirts, but horrible on helmets.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything that you have to clear with.
Now, most of my helmets I've used PPG, actual automotive paint in color, and I might take a little bit of Wicked just to brighten some colors up.
Yeah.
Automotive paint is not as bright as, say, the t-shirt.
But Wicked can be used on automotive, though, right?
Yeah, Wicked can be used. It can be used, but it's still something about automotive that comes out like cleaner and finer.
Yeah. You have to do all the little thinning and whatnot.
Right. It comes out, and you can reduce it. And you can almost reduce that stuff down to almost...
Yeah. So, it took me a while to finally catch up with you. I know we're like going back and forth.
Hey, man, but we got it done.
Yeah, I finally got you.
Yeah, I'd love to do another one day, man. It was fun.
Yeah, what I'm going to do is, well, normally sometimes if I'll come up with a subject, and then I think I found out that I can only have 5 people on that thing, and I'll reach out and try to get people on, and we can do it all at once.
Yeah, if you have him on Instagram, another friend of mine, he goes by Third Eye Airbrush.
I think I see him. I think I follow him. I think I follow both of y'all.
Okay, me and that guy are tight, man. We've been tight for years. He's from Maryland.
Okay.
He lived in Maryland his whole life. Like I said, him and I are pretty tight, and... D DPO Airbrush, if you heard of him, DPO.
Oh, yeah, that's my boy right there. I like him.
Okay, yeah. Now, there was a time when DPO and I were, there was a time when him and I were like rivals.
Oh, yeah?
There was a time, once upon a time, him and I were rivals. You know?
Yeah. You know, We had a storm down here, and I was selling, mm-hmm. I was selling shirts, and bro just reached out to me, man, and I think he bought about two or three of the shirts from me. I thought that was cool.
Okay.
Yeah, I always appreciated that, but yeah I gotta get him.
He actually called me recently to ask me if I wanted to work at his spot. He has at Southern Mall, so that he doesn't have to be there every day. I didn't tell him no, but I didn't tell him yes because of, you know, like I said, my travel.
Yeah.
My travel and other things I'm doing. Because, you know, bodybuilding takes time too. But the reason I say he was a rival because, for one, he was good. He was great, you know. And I couldn't deny his skill when I saw him. So when he stepped on the scene and I saw him, because I believe he came from Chicago or somewhere in the Midwest. When I saw his work, I said, goodness, this guy, he's not one of these guys that's just airbrushing and getting better. He's already on that.
Call me and knock me off.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, but the guy DPO, he was good. He was good. I couldn't deny his skill, his ability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he good. I like DPO.
Yeah, he's fast, so. Stepped on the scene, it was like, damn, this guy's good. But then it got to a point where, you know, customers would come to him or come to me, or they would go to him and have him do something they saw that I did. You know, sometimes it caused a little controversy.
Yeah, that'll do that.
And, you know, to the point where, you know, and then he had other locations. Like I said, I'm a dedicated airbrush artist myself, but I think he airbrushed more 24/7 than I did. You know, I was 24/7, but he was 24/7/7/7. You know, so, but you know, I always told him I work with him one day, so I send people his direction. If it's something I can't do, but I always send people the Third Eye airbrush first. Now, there's another friend of mine that's also around. He goes by the name Precise. Have you seen him, Precise FX?
I'll have to look him up. Because, yeah, I got to start getting back on track my every week having somebody on the podcast. I asked DPO, but he I don't know if he got back with me or he was like, nah, man, I don't know if I have time. But yeah. I can understand that, too, because it takes about an hour of your time.
Yeah, he is a real busy guy. I mean, we're all grown, so we're all busy nowadays. But, you know, like I said, I had to do the podcast because I said I've been wanting to do it. Because I did a podcast with Ivan of Air Graphics before a few years ago.
Oh, yeah?
And I said, hey, this is fun. I said, let me see, you know. Because, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where, I was able to actually introduce myself to who I'm close to and who I'm down with.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody knew me on Facebook, but nobody really had a clue to where I was coming out of. Because one minute you saw me, I was in New York. Another time you saw me, I'm in Florida. Some people saw me in Philly. But, you know, New York and Maryland were my two bases. Much, but my base of work was Maryland. You know, New York was my, you know, my other out. You know, my other out.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, man. I'm glad I got a chance to get you on.
Yeah, definitely, man. It was fun.
Well, all right. I'll,
Sorry, the hiccups had kicked in, but you know, I tried to keep
contained. No, it's good. All right, well, I appreciate it, man. Appreciate your time, and I'll try to get this posted this week, and I'll send you a copy of it as soon as I have it done.
Okay, sounds
sounds like a plan.
All right, appreciate it, man.
All right.
Have a good one.
Air Graphic Podcast is a production of Air Graphics Airbrushing. It's written and hosted by me, fellow airbrusher Ralph Kelly. If you want to see any of my work, check out my website, www.airgraphics1.com, or my Facebook, Ralph Kelly. Thanks for listening.